Turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 9. We're going to probably take a 2 or 3 week hiatus from Hebrews to next week get into Easter. 2 Samuel chapter 9. When William McKinley was this nation's president, he was once planning to appoint an ambassador to a foreign country. And there were two candidates with very similar qualifications. The president tried to figure out how to decide which was the better candidate, which was the better man. That was the question. He later related it was the self-centeredness of one of them that was the deciding factor. He told of a day when he was still in Congress that he and the one candidate were on a streetcar together. An old washerwoman got on, but there were no seats available. She carried her obviously heavy load to the back of the car, and still no seats. Stood in the aisle. Swaying with the motion of the car, she was barely able to keep her balance, and no one offered her a seat. The man who was now one of the candidates was sitting opposite of where she was standing, and he raised his newspaper in such a way that he could not see her. And President McKinley noted that. Well, a moment later, McKinley got up, walked to the woman, and offered her his seat. The candidate never knew that this little act of selfishness had deprived him of a great honor, being in the president's cabinet. One act became the deciding factor against. Could one act of kindness be the deciding factor for you in an important question? We're going to look this morning at how we should treat others. We're going to look at the story of David as he deals with Mephibosheth. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. Then David said, "Is there yet anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba, and they called him to David. And the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "I am your servant." The king said, "Is there not yet any one of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?" And Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan who is crippled in both feet." So the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodabar." Then King David sent and brought him from the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and prostrated himself. And David said, "Mephibosheth," and he said, "Here is your servant." David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will surely show kindness to you for the sake of your father Jonathan, and will restore to you all the land of your grandfather Saul, and you shall eat at my table regularly." Again he prostrated himself and said, "What is your servant that you should regard a dead dog like me?" Then the king called Saul's servant Ziba and said to him, "All that belonged to Saul and to all his house I have given to your master's grandson. You and your sons and your servants shall cultivate the land for him, and you shall bring in the produce so that your master's grandson may have food. Nevertheless, Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall eat at my table regularly." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "According to all that my lord the king commands his servant, so your servant will do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table as one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah, and all who lived in the house of Ziba were servants to Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he ate at the king's table regularly. Now he was lame in both feet. The deciding factor could be the kindness you show to other people. So we should treat others well. David was king of Israel, which had to be a tough job. Headaches of governing people, bigger headache as head of the army. And they were constantly, it seemed, fighting the Philistines. And with all that, he asked if there was anyone left of Saul's family, of his house, that he could show kindness to them. Now, you got to remember that Saul more than once tried to kill David. And you would think almost that he would be justified, but he decided to show God's kindness. It's one thing to be kind to those you cross paths with. It's quite another to go looking for someone to be kind to. Do a little calculation. If someone were to pay you a dime for every kind word you ever spoke about in two people, and then take back a nickel for every unkind word, would you be poor or rich? Are you kind to everyone? Or just the ones you have to be kind to? Are you kind to everyone or just the ones you want something from? Are you kind to everyone or just the people that you think will in some way benefit you? Do you go looking for someone to be kind to? Are you kind to the weak, to the powerless people around you? It's for a reason that we are to be kind to the widows and the orphans, those who have no one to defend them. And it could be the deciding factor. The deciding factor of kindness could be a risky situation for you, so take the chance. David could have chosen to solidify his kingship by eliminating any rivals in their family, but he chose not to. Instead, he searched out the last of Saul's family and found Mephibosheth in hiding, and he treated him kindly and gently. David first restored him the land. Then he gave Mephibosheth the privilege of eating at the king's table forever. And then he provided a continuing source of income. He gave Ziba and all his family and all the servants to take care of Mephibosheth and see about the land. And so it was. There is an upside and a downside to a lot of things about life. One of the upsides for me is to not live in a church parsonage that is obviously the pastor where the pastor of the church lives. The downside of our living arrangement is that there may not be as much material accumulating for the book that I intend to write about being a pastor. But I do have some chapters named already. One night of when we were in Cassett, right there along U.S. Highway 1, it was a Saturday night, or maybe it was technically already Sunday morning, a knock came at the door. Having already been asleep a while, it took me a few minutes to get my bearings and make it to the door. There stood a fellow on his way home to Columbia, but he had a problem. He had been to Rockingham to the car race and had run out of gas on his way home. "Do you have any gas?" Well, the store down on the corner was closed. "I think," I said, "I have a little gas out in the shed," so I go with him to get the gas. I was taking a chance. I was taking a chance, but I felt I had to show the man kindness. The chance you may have to take in being kind to someone is that they will use you. It happens. Are you willing? Or the chance may be that you put yourself in a somewhat vulnerable position. Are you willing? Men, are you treating your wife, your family, kindly and gently? Are you showing your sons how they should treat their future wives? And are you showing your daughters how the kind of man they should look for? Are you willing to take the risk of being kind? That could be a deciding factor. The deciding factor for the follower of Jesus should be their covenant relationship with Christ. So we are to be faithful. David had searched for Mephibosheth because of the covenant that he and Jonathan had come into the covenant relationship he had with Jonathan. So for David to treat or do for Mephibosheth what Jonathan would have done. In 1 Samuel 18 is the story of where Jonathan and David cut covenant. My question first is Christ your covenant partner? What they did was David and Jonathan exchanged robes. They gave up their independent lifestyle. They died to self. And they took on the identity of the other. That's what exchanging of the robes signified. Have you given up your life to take on the life of Christ? Have you clothed yourself with Christ? Then they exchanged armor, swords and bows and belts. And so David had taken on the responsibility to defend, to look after Jonathan and his family. And also the giving of the belt was the giving of a man's strength. Has Christ become your strength? Are you treating others as Jesus would? If you know the story of Martin Luther, when he married, he and his bride, Catherine von Bora, did not feel in love. In fact, they didn't really, I don't know, they, you know, marriage back in that day was different. They didn't feel in love, but they did decide to get married. And so through the years, though, their love for each other blossomed. I often say to a young couple in premarital counseling, do you know the story of the fiddler on the roof? And you do. Do you love me? The husband says to his wife, do I what? Do you love me? For 20-some years, I've cooked your food and washed your clothes and da-da-da-da-da-da. And you ask me if I love you? What was she saying? I showed you how I love you. Now, I don't know where you are in a marriage situation or where you are in a situation with somebody in your life, but if you choose to love them, the feelings will follow. So are you showing kindness and gentleness to others? And will you choose to love? This morning, do you have a relationship with Christ? Not with a church or with a group, but do you have a relationship with Christ? And if the relationship with Christ has not changed the way you treat others, you might need to question that relationship. One act of selfishness, back to the McKinley story, changed the course of that man's life. And an act of kindness may be the deciding factor in your life. Who knows? Will you pursue and purpose in your heart to allow the love of Christ to show itself in your life as you show kindness to others?